Lesson this morning. So we've been talking about the right path. We've been talking about, you know, in our Christian lives, we don't want to live and work and sacrifice and serve and then not end up where God wants us to be or where we thought we were going to be. In my life, I look at the promises in the Bible and I like them. I want to live a life of peace. I want to have a life that God blesses. Now, I'm not talking about financial gain or physical things. I'm talking about being in a spot that God can use me. I want my life to be make a difference. If I'm going to be here, I'm going to live, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to pray, and I want to do it for a reward that he can get glory, he can get honor. And so we want to make sure we're going down the right path. We talked firstly about having the right heart. Then we talked about having the right conscience. Last week, we talked about having the right purpose. Today's lesson is about having the right passion, the right passion. And when you see here in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, and you say, well, what is the right passion? Well, I believe the right passion is to have a life that pleases God. And then we included it also to say to have a church that pleases God. In our lives, we're going to have this thought. Does my life please the Lord? The things that I do, is God pleased with? I got the privilege of teaching an adult Sunday school class, and I think I was about maybe 22 or 23, and there was older people. I was part of a class. This man was teaching the class. I liked the man. He was a little bit of a mentor of mine, so I enjoyed his class even though we were the youngest couple. Well, he got called to preach up in a church in New York, and when he left, they asked me to become the teacher. So it's like I'm teaching a senior citizens class at 23 or 24, and they all know more than I do. They're just being nice to me. So, and that one guy, we had a little bit of a roundtable discussion. He says, don't you think God's pleased with us? And he says, you know, all the world out there, they're doing, you know, drugs and murder and living immoral. And then he began talking about all the problems in the world. Don't you think God's pleased with us and the idea of being a, you know, conservative, Bible-believing here at church and Sunday school? And I told him, I said, you know, you're looking at it from two different points. You know, when we look at the world, you know, they don't know God most times, and they don't understand who God is, so they don't have a holy standard to live towards. So God is not pleased with them. But I also said, as a Christian in my life, I know what I'm supposed to do, I know how I'm supposed to live, and the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So some Christians, only way you can actually please God is by being a Christian. But only way you can please God also is by being a Christian that has faith. So I said to this gentleman, who's probably older, my grandfather, I said to him, I said, so if you don't live by faith, then no, God's not really pleased with you. Now, is he unpleased with you the same way that he's unpleased with the wicked? I says, well, you got to look at it from two different standpoints. One group is a believer, one is not. So when we said, and he wasn't being prideful at all. He wasn't saying, well, I think God's pleased by me. He was being sincere. He was frustrated with all the things that are going on in the world. And he's like, God's got to be pleased with what we're doing. He says, well, what pleases God is what we got to look at. What we got to see and we have to understand is, does this please God? Because in my life, I look at so many different things as a believer and as a Christian, and God speaks to my heart and God works in my heart. And I want to follow him by faith, but those times I do not follow him by faith, that doesn't please him. And I know that because of the spirit within me, you know, speaks of that and works. So I think it's the idea, what type of passion do we have? And does my passion, is it to please God? Do we get up in the morning saying, I want to do those things that please him today? I want to do those things that really makes him happy. Veterans Day, I think it was yesterday, and we're going to actually, I've never preached a message about a soldier on Veterans Day, but we're going to preach about qualities of being a good soldier, because I appreciate all those that served. I know many of you served in the military or were married to someone that was served in the military. And that's one of the points, is that, you know, that they may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. And it's the idea here that we need to please him. And I did a lot of reading, research, talking, and they, you know, one of the things that a good soldier would do would try to please his commanding officer. And so it's not about what we consider God's thing as pleasing, or what I'm going to do to please this person or please that person. It is this. What is the question here? Is what I'm doing pleasing God? Does my actions please God? Does my reactions please God? Does how I deal with faithfulness please God? All those different things, does it please the Lord? So when we consider the right passion, That's the thing, is having lives that please God. And I thought about the next spot is, it's not just about our lives, but also having a church that pleases God. Is this a church that pleases the Lord? And so when we're talking about getting to the right path, it does begin with the right heart, being pure in heart, having the right conscience, having the right purpose, and then the right passion. Is it my passion to please the Lord with my life? And we look at this, and it says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, ye are the salt of the earth. Now, that's why the three dots are there. We didn't finish that verse just because we didn't have time to explain all of it. But it shows that Jesus is speaking to a group of believers or disciples, at least some that were there. And he says, look, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So if our life purpose or our passion is to please the Lord and for our church to please the Lord, that means that we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be the light of the world. Are we those things? Now, we can live as separated and as holy as we want, and God is pleased with that. But when we're not doing some of the other things he has called us to do, then God's not pleased with every area of our life. So let's look here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 4 to begin with. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. Actually, that's chapter 3. Excuse me. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance into you. Now, who's speaking here? This is Paul referring to the church of Thessalonica. He's writing back afterwards, and he's talking about their experience. And that our entrance unto you, us coming unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that, we had suffered before. Now, if we go back to the book of Acts, we see that they were in Philippi before, and there was a great place of suffering. That's when they were beaten for casting the demon out of the maid or the girl, and were shamefully entreated, and they were put into bonds and stocks and in the inner prison. As ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel with much contention. He says, we still preach the same message. We preach the gospel, even though there was many who did not want it to happen. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. He says, this was not my purpose, is to try to trick you, or try to deceive you, or to let it be done in vain or uncleanly. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. So he's saying here, with a pure heart, I am trying to do my best, not to try to please a man. I'm trying to please God. And we're going to look at the next couple of verses in just a few minutes as we get along with the lesson. But, you know, here's the question, here's the thought is, what is true success? What is true success? Is success people being pleased with you? Is success working towards a goal? Success can become a moving target. It really can. You know, if I get here, I need to do this, I need to do this. But pleasing the Lord, if that is our goal, if we want to glorify God with our body and with our hearts, we know what he wants us to do and what he desires us to do. The only way that we can be successful is through the word of God and with God's help, making the message of Jesus Christ a place that can be a light and a salt to this world is something that is, that's what our goal needs to be. That's what our passion needs to be, is to live for the Lord. And so ask God to be pleased with my life. And it's not about what we think is, God, what I'm doing is pleasing to you. Like the other gentleman said, the older gentleman said in my Sunday school class before, God's got to be pleased with it. And from his reasoning, he was very sincere. And he was talking about the whole entire group, not just himself. But sometimes I think we get to this spot and say, God must be pleased with me. Well, is he? Are the things we're doing, is it really to please him? Or is it things that we think is right? Let's look at a couple things. First things, I think things that are God will be pleased with, and we see in this passage of scripture, first of all, God is pleased if we have the right passion. And if we have the right passion, we must be persistent in our method. Paul was persistent in his method. But even after we had suffered before and we were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in God to speak unto you the gospel of God, which with much contention. Paul was persistent in his method. Now, you say, well, Pastor, methods change, and they do change. The things that they did back in the church of Thessalonica is not the same things that we may do today. They did not have PowerPoint screens. They did not have things that you can point at. They did not have speakers, and they did not have, you know, all types of things have changed over the years, and we got to remember this and understand that what Paul is speaking about here is Paul's methods at Philippi was what? He preached the gospel. He did what God called him to do. He was called, he followed God's leadership to get to Philippi and there at Lydia. We remember Lydia had been praying as they were going. Paul witnessed and they began a church. This other little girl came out and was kept on saying, these are men from, you know, God and this and that. And he cast out the demon because that girl that was mocking and the girl's owners hated that. And they brought him before the magistrates and they whipped him and they put him in the inner prison. And then they had the great earthquake. Remember the guy was getting ready to kill himself. And, you know, no, we see what Paul does. He preaches the gospel. And that's what he's saying here when he comes to this church. He says, even though we had suffered before, even though they had just been beaten, even though they had just been put in the inner prison, even though they had all these things happen to them, even though we were shamefully entreated, even though we were abused, and even though we were mocked, all those different things, he kept on doing the same thing. We were bold in God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. He didn't change his message. He didn't change his purpose. He didn't stop doing what he was doing just because he had been treated wrong and because he had been treated shamefully. He kept on preaching the same message. After Paul had been released from prison, he went to the next city, which is Thessalonica, and the preacher, and he preached the same with the same fervency, preached with the same passion. If we want to get to the right path, if we want to end up in the right spot, we got to remember this. We got to keep it up. But you got to be persistent in it. Now, you say, Pastor, things change. You know, and as the world changes, as culture changes, there's different things that we use, like a screen. And you know, some people love the screen. Some people love the PowerPoint. Some people think it's worldly. So, and there's other things. You know, I don't think we should do it this direction. I don't think it should do this direction. I had one person tell me one time, will you ever put the words up there for music? I'm leaving. I said, well, that's not my plans. But I says, what about the guy who can't see the hymnal and they can see the words up there? And they said, well, they can't read the music. I says, I can't read the music anyway. Brother Jim told me that the men's notes, they're on the bottom. The ladies' notes are on top. I didn't know that. I just sang with everybody else. I says, if they can't see the hymn book, but they can look up and see something on a screen, does that make it evil? No, it doesn't. And so it's the idea here that we have opportunities like having our church website on the internet. The internet can be one of the most wicked things in the world, but the internet can also be one of the greatest things in the world. My son, Andrew, he likes music. He likes singing. He likes preaching. He likes the harder the preaching, the better. He loves it when people yell. He loves it when people are this and that. He listens to a lot of good old preachers. And anyway, I always tell him the ones he's allowed to listen to and not allowed to listen to. And old fashioned preachers, he loves listening to, like the Lester Roll Offs and things like that. And you know what? You know, that's something that helps him and encourages him and takes up his time. When he does that, he's not doing other stupid things like playing video games, and he likes to do that too, you know. But Paul here, he was persistent in his method. What didn't change? The truth didn't change. He wanted the same method at Philippi when he was preaching and teaching the gospel and winning people to Christ. He did the exact same thing when he got here. If we're going to have the right passion and we're going to please the Lord, we're going to have to remember Paul's method there was the same. And what was that he did the same? It was the fact that he was persistent. And we need to remember that persistence is a key to having the right passion. Someone once said, sometimes the door of opportunity swings on the hinges of opposition. Once, on one occasion, Spurgeon, talking about perseverance, said, it was only by perseverance that the snail reached the ark. It was only by perseverance that the snail reached the ark. Think about how long it took that snail to get to the ark. And that's only by perseverance that it happened. God allowed that to happen. We must remember, if we want to have the right passion, we must be persistent. You say, Pastor, last week you talked about persistence. That's a key to the Christian life. Getting the right heart and being persistent with it. Getting the right conscience and being persistent about it. Having the right purpose and being persistent about it. Next thing I want you to see here is that Paul not only was persistent, he was pure in his motive. He was pure in his motive. And a day and time where we live, where there are so many people that get up there and preach and teach what they call the gospel and the word of God, and they do it for filthy lucre, and they do it for the wrong reasons. Paul here is saying, look, I was pure in my motives. And I think it's interesting, he talks about this. And we got to remember that we must remain pure in our motives and how we serve the Lord and why we serve the Lord. We got to remember that we come, and why do we come to church? We want to please the Lord. Why do we want to serve? We want to please the Lord. It's not to receive some type of benefit. This prosperity gospel, if you do this, this, and this, then you're going to be rich. If you do this, this, and this, then you're going to have this, and you're going to have that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about pleasing the Lord with our life. We're talking about having the right passion. So if we're going to do that, our motives have got to be pure. First thing I want you to see here, if you look what it says as in verse number 3, it says, for our exhortation was not of deceit. So the first thing you see is that he was not being deceitful. He was not trying to be unclean about it. He wasn't trying to have guile and trick people. And back in that day and time, the temples of Zeus and Apollo were there, and there was great sin, there was great wickedness. And the men that were the priests in that day, where they were deceitful men and they were malicious. And Paul was saying to them, hey, look, when we came unto you in verse number 1, we preached the same thing that we did back in Philippi. And verse number 2, it talked about how they had the same gospel of God. And verse number 3, he says, we did it without deceit. They weren't trying to deceive people. I think one of the biggest insults, and sometimes not many people said this before, is when they say to me, you know, you did this because you wanted that. And when it comes to the way of service. I don't know if that's ever happened to you before, but I've had that accusation about people who have been upset and says, the only reason why you did that was so you could get this or so you could do that. And they said that was a deceiving thing. They were trying to be deceitful. And I said, I understand that. People sometimes do that because they want something from somebody. But that's not my heart's desire. When I'm trying to serve the Lord, I want to please the Lord. I want to do what's pleasing to him. Does that ever get off base? Of course we all fall and we all sin. But it's something that's without deceit. So next thing I want you to see, it was not ego-centered. It wasn't all about Paul. And sometimes, unfortunately, when we minister, it becomes about us. If I'm not going to get my way, I'm going to make sure everybody knows about it. Nothing wrong with giving your opinion, but also there's a right way to do it. We've looked a little bit at flooring, and people have been very kind out there. But, you know, we've heard stories about people who've left off the carpet. They left the church over the color of the carpet. They didn't get their way, so they got mad and they picked up their ball and went home. And it's, I guess they didn't, you know, it's not ego-centered. If we're going to have the right passion, it's got to be about the Lord. And that's what Paul is saying here in verse number 4. But as we were allowed, and it's great, he says, it's God's gift that we get a chance to minister. It's God's gift that we are put in trust with the gospel. When you get to do something here in a ministry standpoint, don't let it be about you. It's about God and what God is giving you the opportunity to do. And it's God that says, hey, we're allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. And he says, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth the heart. And Paul was saying here, he said, I had the right passion. I want to please God with my life. That's why I didn't change my message after it got me beaten. That's why I didn't change my message after it got me thrown in prison. That's why I didn't come to you trying to trick you and deceive you and trying to say, hey, you know what? Hey, if you come and you join me, you're going to have all these good things. And that's what prosperity preaching is all about. If you send me money, guess what? You're going to be blessed and you're going to get, they're trying to deceive them. And he says, and it's not about me. He said, when I got up and preached, it wasn't about what I wanted. It wasn't about what you wanted. He says, I was trying to please God with my words. And that's what having the right passion is. The next thing you see here, we know that it's a form of humility and a servitude when it comes to a Christian. A mind that is willing to die to self and alive to Christ. Our motivation for service should always be about glorifying him, not getting what we think is best across. And once again, I know God speaks to our hearts about things, but we got to make sure we do it without being ego-centered. Next thing I want you to see, it was not covetous. And I look what it says here in verse number 5. We did not go over this. He says, for neither at time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. In this story, he's saying, I wasn't doing this so I could get something from you. In today's society, people are suspicious of Christian servants, and they're suspicious of pastors and deacons and Sunday school teachers, suspicious of evangelists and suspicious of missionaries and even other church members. Paul was not looking for a handout. As you know, in the story of Paul here, many times he would go into that community and be a tent maker and would earn his living and earn his keep while he was there in ministry. And I think it's easy to remember this, that God is really good to us when our hearts are pure and when our motives are right. Now, we got to remember, I don't know about you, but there's been many times in my life where God answered my prayer when I was serving him and doing what's right. Sometimes there was a financial need in our lives, and I don't know how God just met it. There's just been a lot of times. I don't want to tell stories because God used you many times to, many of you didn't help me in different ways. But as I was reading through this lesson, I thought about it. You know, I don't serve to try to get things from people. We shouldn't serve in order to get things from people. You shouldn't come to church in order to try to grow your business. You shouldn't come to try to manipulate people or try to get people to help. I remember after we had that hurricane back, I think it was in 2003, we had a service that day and talked about people had, there was people that came to that church service I had never seen. I know some of you knew them, but I was new, and they were asking for help for things. And I know people were kind to help them and things like that, but you know, they didn't come back to church the following week. They came that week just because they wanted something. And I think you got to remember this, that our service should not be to try to gain things. Paul's motive was to be a good steward of the gospel. The Bible says more is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We should not be covetous. God's will is very clear for our lives, and God will just take care of us and make things work. Like I said, I had things written down in my notes on the side. I remember times when there was a need I had and no one else knew that, and they still came up and said, "Hey, here, I know you're doing this. Here, let me help you with that." And I said, I thanked the one time I thanked the person, and they looked at me and says, "You need it, don't you?" I says, "I do." I says, "God told me to do this for you." And I'm just very, very thankful. We went and saw Mrs. Wallace on Thursday night visitation. Mrs. Wallace told me the same story that, you know, God had just blessed her recently, and that, you know, she was just amazed by what God did, how God's been faithful to her over all these years, and that there was a need there. Miss Velma Smith helps take care of getting her groceries for her, and she was leaving to go out of town for a month, and she had no idea how she was going to get her groceries or whatever. She knows she could call us. But a lady two doors down, the day after Miss Velma left, said, "Hey, can I help get you your groceries this week?" And they did it the whole month while they were gone. You know, God does that. God answers prayer when we serve him, and we don't try to do it deceiving people, when we don't do it when it's about ourselves, when we don't do it to try to get things. God will take care of his servants. He surely will. He will take care of his servants, but we need to make sure that we have the right passion by being persistent. But the point is, we need to be pure in our motives. Let's check our hearts. Like I said, every day, it's best when I get up and say, "Lord, what is it you want me to do today? I want to do things that are going to please you." And that begins with me reading my Bible. And that begins with me spending some time with him, because I know that pleases him. Before I do other things, obviously, I get up and have to use the bathroom. And, you know, besides that, after that, usually I go and read. And that's just for a little while. I even sit on my bed and read a short portion of what my daily reading is, and because I want to please him. I want to be pure. Next thing I want you to think about here and is Paul was personal in his ministry. Now, look at this. It says in verse 7, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children." He was personal in his care. You think about it. He was personal. You think about it. Like a nursing mother, he loved people with special love. You say, "Well, how can I do that?" That's what God wants you to be passionate about. He wants you to have the right passion. He wants you to do that. He wants you to treat people with care. People who have, some people have made a lot of money, but they're still sad. Some people have tried to fill their lives with things like drugs and alcohol, but still sad. There is a world out there of people that are in need and that are hurting. And I'm not talking about taking care of them financially. I'm talking about showing them that we care. Because remember, we're supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to be the salt of the world. Working with people does require patience. Look what it says in verse 9. It says, "For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for labor night and day, because we would not be chargeable to any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of Christ." Now, this is talking about laboring night and day and the idea that they did work. but they labored and travailed amongst them. They were patient with them. Verse number 7 gives even a better picture of that nurse cherishing her child. You know, children and babes in Christ are not going to be someone who are going to, they're not going to turn out to be just like who we think they should be. And what we think a good Christian should be, you know, whether they look right and whether they have the right haircut or the right clothes and the right attire. You know, he says, look, we were gentle among you. He had this, he says, I was personal. I invested myself. And I think that pleases God. That's a passion that's there. Do we do that? Once again, we got to have the right passion. Our lives must be about being persistent in this walk with God and being pure with this. But there's a personal care that Paul offers in this passage of scripture and says, hey, look, you remember us. We were gentle among you. Verse number 8, so being affectionately desirous of you, we are willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. They gave of themselves. They let it personally happen. And I see people who serve one another. And I see people who care and want to help one another and be a blessing to one another. And that's great inside the church house. But also, that's something we must also reach out to those that don't know him. Paul entered into the church of Thessalonica. There was no church there. He entered into that city of Thessalonica. And it was with much contention. He preached the gospel. And he did it personally. He cherished them. And it says that he affectionately desires of them, and he gave of himself. So if we're going to have the right passion, we must have be persistent. We also must be pure. We also must be personal about it. As often it's been stated, people do not know how much you know until they know how much you care. And so I think it's important to remember the truth that's in there. Next thing, Paul was powerful in his message. Verse number 9, it talks about that again, about the gospel of God. Look what it says in verse number 13. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it in the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So he's saying, look, you received our words, not as the word of men, but as the word of God. And as we steward the word of God, we have to hold it in that type of light. I'm not telling somebody my words. I'm not telling somebody my opinion. I'm telling someone the word of God and the word of truth, because it's God's word that changes lives. I think it says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God. It's a powerful. We have to remember to keep the word of God as our prime focus. The power of God into salvation to everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and to also the Greek. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I think Paul is saying here to the church of Thessalonica, when you think about what happens here, he goes in there, he goes into this city, he begins a church, he wins people to the Lord, then he continues on. And he's writing back this letter and he's reminding of some things. He's reminding them, hey, look, make sure that your life is something that is pleasing to God. We're not trying to please men. And then he gives his personal testimony. And this is really great when he can do it personally. It's great when he can write this letter back. He says, you remember when we came unto you. You remember what happened to us at Philippi. You remember that when I came into that city, he probably still had the stripes. He probably still had the marks of the beating that he took and the stripes he had took. And he was probably still hurting from that. And he says, when we came unto you, we preached the same message. When we came unto you, we did not do it with deceit. We did not do it with guile. We did not do it with covetousness. We have left town and nothing that you, we have not desired anything type of gift from you. We've done it for the right reasons. We were pure in our motives. And then we were personal with you. We cared for you. We nourished you as a newborn babe in Christ, and we affectionately desired of you that you would do what God wanted to do. And then he says, remember, it's about the message of the gospel. It's about how God changes lives. I can't get over, still don't want to get over, when I see God change someone's life. When someone gets saved and you see them growing in the Lord and you see them changing, when in the past they may have been angry, or they may have been smart aleck, or when I guess I like to see when God makes a change in someone's life. when he makes that difference in someone's life. And I know some of your testimonies of, you know, what you used to be before you're saved. And now it's hard for me to believe that. It's hard for me to believe that that person used to be an alcoholic, or that person used to be use drugs, or that person used to be really cruel and mean. They're some of the greatest, kindest people in the world. And he's like, where does that all come from? It came from God. And the power of the message that Paul gave, he says, this is what I'm reminding of you. Now go and live for him. Look what it says in verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, for ye also suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. So he says, now you have had the same thing happen to you. Don't let it stop you. Still be persistent. Still be pure. Still personally get involved. And still remember, it's the power of God that changed our lives. So how are we going to get to that right spot where God's going to use us? That right spot down that right path, that place of peace, that place of God's power. You know, it starts with the right heart and continues with the right conscience, continues with the right purpose, and then we think about the right passion. So in your lives, think about this. Is what I do please God? Is what I say please God? Does my reactions please God? That's what Paul's saying here. Use this as a test. Are you persistent? Are you pure? Are you personal? And do you have the power of God behind you in his word? What I do, does it please God? Does my church please the Lord? Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Holy Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for the people that are here, the blessing they are. Lord, I pray you help us. In our lives, I know in my life specifically, I want to please you. I don't want to live this life and, you know, witness and sacrifice and work hard and do all the things in the name of God and not please you. Help us to consider the things of our lives. Help us with that pure heart and the right conscience with the right purpose. Develop this right type of passion. A lot of people are passionate, Lord. Help it make sure that it's something that's pleasing to you. Like that older gentleman helped me that day to understand there's good Christians that have been serving the Lord, been saved for a long time, that says, you know, God must be pleased with me. But Lord, you say in your word, Lord, that without faith it's impossible to please you. Help us to have a life of faith. Help us to get up each day and say, Lord, I want to please you with the way I treat my family. I want to please you with the day type of work I do that day. I want to please you with how much time I spend with you and steward the time I read my Bible and pray. Lord, I want to please you by being a light to the world. In Jesus' name, amen.